course, not the first time I heard the song, but the first time I heard them two sing it, guess where it was? Then a funeral. And a funeral chapel. There wasn't a whole lot of room in there. But you make you want to shout. Amen. You said at a funeral? Yeah, at a funeral. Make you want to shout. Sometimes I wonder if we believe what we say we believe. If we do, whether we believe or not, amen, if you're a believer, best is yet to come. Real, I'm talking about. We don't know nothing yet. The best presence of God you've ever been in, the best service you've ever been in, best you've ever been with people worshiping, praising God, it's going to be just a little taste of what heaven's going to be like. Hallelujah. It's yet to be seen. He said, I hadn't seen, you heard, neither the things that God prepared for them that love him. But you said, is that it? No, it's not always said. I'm glad he said some more, aren't you? Hey, but he's revealed it to us how? By his Spirit. And if you've been born with the Spirit, he can reveal it to you too. Hallelujah. The natural man receiveth not the things of God, because he naturally can't understand them. But a man that's been born of the Spirit can begin to open the things and begin to open up to him. Heaven can become real. The Word of God becomes more real. And the same one that authored this book is the same one to take this book and show it to us and reveal it to us. Well, what Jesus said, there's one coming after me, Spirit of Truth, said he'll teach you. He'll tell you some things about our Lord you won't never find out nowhere else out of this book. And you won't ever see them until he shows them to you. It's worth reading. He'll open it up to you. Yes, he will. Before we read the scripture this morning, how many we have, as Brother Larry was talking about, I am so thankful for those that paid the sacrifice. I knew a couple used to work them here back in the 60s. Had a son, got out of school, right into they drafted him into the service. And went in when he was about 18 years old. I don't know how long after, because he went to Vietnam, got killed in Vietnam. It just devastated. I mean, I can't even say the word. His mom and daddy just almost killed him. I saw him suffer. I saw him go through what they went through with. But I said that to say this. They gave their life that I could stand right here. And that freedom that so many lives have been given for, if we don't have a revival in this country, it's soon going to be taken. It's true. We won't have the freedom to stand up here and preach. So I greatly appreciate those that have given so far. But through it all, what we must have is God on our side. You go see that through all of the scriptures. Through the Bible, you'll find it wasn't those that had the greatest armies. It wasn't those that had the most in number. It was those that God was fighting for. And that's what disturbs me about America today. When Pearl Harbor got bombed, you probably read this also, and I'm not much on history, honestly. I don't know a lot about it. But I do remember reading there were some more planes got fogged out. There had been a lot more damage going on. That was enough, which got us into World War II. But I often thought, wonder who fogged them out. God did. Whose fault for America? God has. what they want to do with him now. Completely shut him out of everything. Sad, isn't it? Real sad. But he's still God. Still rules and reigns. He's got the key of hell and death. He sets up and he takes down. He's God. I like what the old black brother said. He said, he's a man of war. And said, you can't whoop him. He knew what he's talking about, didn't he? He's a man of war. And you can't whoop him. No matter what you come against him with. It's like when they was going to go arrest Jesus. Somebody said, could they arrest him? No, he hadn't yielded. Whom seek ye is all it said, and they fell backwards. Just authority of his word. When he comes back on that white horse, what kind of sword do you think is going to be on there with him? His word coming forth out of his mouth. That's all he has to do, speak the word. And he's done. Just like he told that father that day, or that one over servant said to him, when he found out what hour his son was healed, he said, that's the hour he said, my son liveth. Well, sure it is. Wasn't it? Same time. You said, well, they weren't there where he was. That didn't matter. When he speaks a word, it comes to pass. How many has been in the, I'm on hush now, how many has been in the armed services, any form? Stand up, if you will. We want to thank God for you. Look at that. Give him a hand. Yeah. God bless y'all. We really appreciate what you've done. And I appreciate those. All those that lost their lives fighting for our freedom. God bless you. And may the Lord bless his word this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Then we're going to read some scripture. Father, I want to thank you this morning. You've given us this opportunity to come together here in your house to worship you. God, we do thank you that we still live in the land of the free. We thank you for all the blessings you've sent upon us in this great United States. We know that our forefathers wanted and did honor you. And I pray that you, Lord, bring us back to it again. Bless time here, our Father, this morning. Bless each home, each family. We pray for those families that lost loved ones through the years. I pray that you continue to heal their hearts. Help us all to be more grateful and thankful for what we have, what you've done for us. And God, we pray for revival amongst this nation. And amongst the church that must begin in your house. And God, I pray you let it be so. God, I pray that you speak to us and bless the reading of a word this morning. And we share a few moments that you've laid upon our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. I want to read a couple of verses in the Old Testament. Then I'm going to the New Testament, Lord willing, this morning. If you turn with me to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter number 3. Isaiah chapter number 3, then I want to read it. I'm just going to flip through this and read it. I want to read that and one in Jeremiah. Then going on to the New Testament this morning just for a few moments. Look in chapter 3 of Isaiah. In verse number, the warnings of God. God's got a lot of warnings through the scripture. You know, a lot of times we forget. And a lot of times people think God don't judge sin no more. Don't you? I'm going to give you a verse, but I won't turn there and read it. But it's Psalm 9:17. The Bible said the wicked shall be turned into hell. And all nations that forget God. Don't ever forget that verse. Hey, not a week go by, don't think about that verse and think what's going on in our nation. Nations that forget God. The wicked shall be turned into hell in all nations. Somebody say, why we got so much chaos? Why we got so much hell on earth in America? I'll tell you why. She's forgetting God. Yes, sir, forgetting God. Look in Isaiah chapter number 3, verse number 8. And Jerusalem is ruined, and Judah's fallen, because their tongue and their doings are against the Lord, to provoke the eyes of his glory. That sound like America? The show of the countenance do witness against him. They declare their sin. Here it is, America right now, as Sodom, and hide it not. Now not ashamed of it no more. Hiding it not. You say, well, that was in the old days. God's still the same. Don't you ever forget it. He's still the same. They say, woe on them. It says their sin is as Sodom. They hide it not. Woe unto their soul, for they have rewarded evil unto themselves. Say ye to the righteous that it shall be well with him, for they shall eat the fruit of their doings. Woe unto the wicked. It shall be ill with him. And says, for the reward of his hand shall be given him. For as for my people, children are their oppressors. Women rule over them. O my people, for they which lead thee, cause thee to err, and destroy the ways of thy path. That sounds like it is in America too, don't it? Turn with me a little farther in the book of... that's Isaiah. Turn me to the book of Jeremiah. I want to just read a little bit, show this. A lot of this in the Old Testament prophets. Jeremiah chapter number 8. Jeremiah chapter number 8. Listen to what he says here in verse number 4. In verses 4 through 7. Moreover, thou shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord, shall they fall and not rise, and shall he turn away and not return? Why then is this people of Jerusalem slidden back by perpetual backsliding? They hold for deceit. They refuse to return. I hearkened and heard, but they spake not aright. No man repented him of his wickedness, saying, what have I done? Everyone turned to his course as a horse rusheth to the battle. Yea, the stork of the heaven know their appointed times, and the turtle, the crane, and the swallow observe the time of they're coming, but my people know not not the judgment of the Lord. A lot of time we can't even see that. If we look around, you can see the judgment of God right now. You can see it, but he said, oh, listen, you know, a lot of times, listen, the stork knows when to go. The birds know when to migrate. They know when to go, when to come. And listen, all that, they obeying what the Lord put in them. But he said, my people can't even see the judgment of God. Notice what he said in Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter number 16. Ezekiel chapter number 16. All these old prophets had her down. Ezekiel 16. Turn with me now there, if you will, just a moment. Read two or three more verses. Ezekiel chapter number 16. Then we'll go read a verse or two in the Old Testament. New Testament. Ezekiel chapter number 16. Verse number 48, I believe it is. Ezekiel 16. And verse number 48. As I live, saith the Lord God, Sodom thy sister hath not done, she nor her daughters, as thou hast done. Thou and thy daughters. Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. Now get a hold of this. Pride, fullness of bread, and abundance of idleness. Boy, that's where we are in America today. Now just let her soak in. You hear that? Sodom. It says, Nicky, thy sister Sodom, full of pride and fullness of bread, abundance of everything. Oh, merry times, good times, financial good times. In America, that's what she'd been for years. Little ups and bumps and downs. But he said, I want to tell you something. He said, listen to what he said, behold, the iniquity of my sister. That's what her was, the iniquity of the sin of her was, a fullness of, she had plenty of bread, had abundance of idleness, plenty of time on her hand. We must too, coach. People's running to and fro. That's another verse in the book of Daniel, isn't it? Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. But here we see in this passage of scripture, abundance of idleness,
was in her and her daughters, neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and the needy. And they were haughty and committed abomination before me, it says, therefore I took them away as I saw good. God done away with them. Neither have Samaria submitted half of thy sin, but thou hast multiplied thy abomination before they, and hast justified thy sister in all that thy abomination which thou hast done. You've heard it said, and I'm just repeating what I heard. I don't think God's going to be repenting to nobody, but said that if he didn't judge America, he'd owe them a repentance. No, I don't think he owe them one, but he will judge America. He is judging America right today. And folks, we need to wake up. We need to wake up in our country. We need to wake up in our nation, in our land. Turn in the book, we won't dwell on that, but you think about where that fullness, the pride, fullness of bread, and abundance of idle time. Does that sound like where we are? I had to go over to get something from Brother Gary at the big truck stop in Cottondale. If you haven't been by there, there's piles of people there. Trucks, cars, I mean, particularly this weekend. And we looked over, Brother Gary said, look over there. I don't know how to pull a boat down the road. I'm not against boats, don't get me wrong. But I don't know how that boat was. It's a big, brand, shiny new. He said, that thing must have cost hundreds of thousands of dollars, and it probably did. I don't know where it's going. They ain't know where they're going to put it. Let's go down here to the bay or the Gulf or the ocean. I thought myself, where in the world? And the Lord was already dealing with about this passage of Scripture. Abundance. I mean, he said he's got everything in the world. Look what we got in this hour. Can I tell you something? You ever read Revelation? I'm going to read this morning. You ever read it where it said great riches come to naught? Did you know, if people use their money right, I don't care if they're millionaires or billionaires. It ain't bothering me a lick. But you know what? It's going to be sad one day. Hey, you said I ain't got much. Well, you don't have to worry about it. It won't be long. Everybody's going to be in the same boat. Mark her down. It's coming. God's not going to let it keep going, folks. This is what really been on my heart so heavy for weeks, months. We better wake up. Revelation says that when Babylon the Great falls, there's going to be it's going to be wailing, gnashing. Yes, sir, it's coming. And you know what he said? He said, in 1 hour, great riches come to naught. It's not going to be a slow thing. All of a sudden, it's going to happen. Did you know? It's almost scary. Did you know that Iran, that we're sending billions of dollars, millions of dollars to, crazy, they ain't going to use it. Anything would be against us. Mark it down. We put money everywhere in the world you can think about. I'm talking about our United States. It's sad. Did you know all some of our enemies have to do? Send up a satellite or a false satellite or a rocket or something up here and blanket with some material. I can't name all of what I heard about and read about. But it was a blanket and put up down all those electrons and stuff. You ever wonder how all this, I always blows my mind, how does all this stuff fly through there? Did you know that they got not only that, but they got the technology now to shut it all down? And did you know if that happened in America, what would happen? Totally collapse. Because you know how planes fly now? About anything, it's got to have the computers, got to have, you know. I can tell you from my own fact, this is the truth. I got a truck, a milk truck. I'm just going to talk to you now. costs more for the, if you bought it new from the factory, the computer thing goes on it. It tells how much for the fuel pump to pump and all that stuff. It controls the whole system. Costs more than what you used to get overhauled. Well, almost, it costs as much now, almost as to overhaul the whole motor. Put pistons and all in the motor. And my theory on it is, how'd it used to run without it? But what it is getting to the place where, what's getting to is the place where we're going to be paralyzed. And we don't have enough, listen, if there's no electricity and there's no ways to get around, listen, no way to do things, we're going to be in a mess in America. I'm talking about suddenly and quick. I always wondered why in the world, he said in the book of Revelation, he's going to throw money in the streets. Be no good if you can't buy something with it, can you? No, not at all. Won't be no good. So it's a sad day coming. What I want to pray is that we'll get right and get ready for the hour that we may be facing. You say, well, I'm figuring on getting out of here. Well, I hope I do too. But he may not come as quick as we think he is. We don't know when he's coming. Right? We don't know when he's coming, but we know he is coming. Our Lord is coming, and it will be soon, but thank God until he does, we better have revival and get a hold of God, because we're going to need him. We're going to need to get a hold of him. We need the grace of God. We must have him. We must have him. No other way. But turn me now to the book of Luke, chapter number 10. See if I can find this verse I'm looking for. I think it's Luke 10. Yeah. Look in Luke 10, chapter number 12. Luke 10, chapter number 12 said, now I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable in the day of Sodom than for this city. Woe unto them, Chorazin, unto Bethsaida, for if the mighty works have been done in Tyre and Sidon, which have been done in you, that they a great while ago repented. It says, sitting in sackcloth and in ashes. But it shall be more tolerable for Sodom, for Tyre and Sodom at the judgment than for you. You know what I'm saying? That's saying to us, if the works had been done, even in Sodom and Gomorrah, and these other cities, that's been done, and the blessings that God has poured out on America, if it had been done to them, he said they repented a long time ago. That's what Jesus said. They repented long time ago. But you know what? He said be more tolerable for them. Sounds like it's going to be pretty rough, isn't it? For this generation. This generation. Turn with me now to the book of Peter. We'll say, I want to read some scripture here, Lord willing. Book of Peter. In the book of Peter, chapter number 2, Second Peter, chapter number 2, begin reading verse number 4. Second Peter 2, chapter 2, verse number 4, begin reading, and God spared not the angels. If God spared not the angels, that sin but cast him down into hell, live in the chains of darkness, to be reserved to judgment, spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing the flood upon the world of the ungodly, turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah unto ashes, condemning them, that overthrow, making them an example unto those that afterward should live ungodly. And delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelleth among them, seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with them unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation, to reserve the just, unjust in the day of judgment to be punished. God bless the reading of his word. And I want to say, if God spared not the angels that sinned, you know, I got to read that, got to think about you. You ever stopped and thought a minute that God made no provisions? He made no, give them no, listen, no space to repent. He gave them no one to take their place and take their sin like he did for us and gave us. If God spared not the angels that sinned, how much more punishment's going to be to those that reject the Lord Jesus Christ? The angels had no one that died on the cross with him. God made no provisions for him. He spared them not. Listen, they had no opportunity. You know what? Listen, anyone that reject the love of God and reject what Jesus did on Calvary's cross, I'm telling you, if you reject his son, listen, you have no hope. You have no way. You have nothing, listen, that you can cling to. If God would let those angels go, you think about those angels that sinned against him, that rebelled against him. He didn't spare them, but thank God to his son. He spared us. He spared you and he spared me, thank God. And you ought to praise him for it and give him glory and honor and praise. You ought to say, hallelujah. God didn't make a way for the angel, but he made one for me. Hallelujah. Does that, don't, I don't know about you, but it excites me. Hallelujah. God didn't spare them. He spared not the angels of sin, but cast them down to hell. You know, that's why some people say, well, hey, God won't put nobody in hell. He will, too. He put them angels there. You know, I got to meditating on that. I got to think about it. Oh, listen. Oh, how awful it's going to be. How bad it's going to be when somebody rejects Christ. Had an opportunity, heard the gospel. Oh, if God didn't even give those angels a chance to hear the gospel, he didn't make no provisions for them. But you, if you hear this morning and never received the Lord Jesus Christ, and you ever ask him into your heart, and you've had an opportunity, and you have, if you've lived anywhere hearing the gospel and heard somebody said something to you, somebody's give you a word, somebody's, you've heard some message, somebody's give you a tract, somebody, you've heard some gospel song had the message in it. You've heard the word of God somewhere, and somehow you two rejected him. God's not going to spare you. He won't spare. He sure won't. God spared not the angels that sin. Cast them down. Living the chains of darkness. They still in that darkness. But you know what we was too? We once was in darkness. But thank God the light come. He spared me. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. I don't know about you. I'm glad I got spared. If you knew how awful hell was, if you got spared from it, you'd say, thank you, Lord, too. You say, Lord, I thank you. I thank you that you spared me also. So I want to plead with you this morning, plead with our nation. Let's don't trample the blood of Christ under our feet as an unholy thing. Let's don't reject a loving, merciful, gracious God. This calling, come home, come home. Because he don't spare. You know the only way he'll spare you? The only way he'll spare me. Because he spared not the rod on his son. He spared not his son from the cross. That's the only way. You said, preacher, how come you're getting spared? How come I? Oh, that's it. That's it. Because he did it. Hallelujah. In Jesus hadn't come and took our place, we'd been just like the angels. No hope, no redemption. You know, I wondered a long time. I thought to myself, man, that just ponders me. I ponder about it. Why'd God love me? Now, if he'd spare me, Brother Donnie, didn't even spare his own angels. You know, they were higher beings than we were. You know what's going to make it so rough on them? We'd never been to heaven. We heard about it. We'd heard about it before a lot of us did, before we got converted. But you think about those fallen angels, they was there. They was there worshiping around the throne. They knew all about heaven. Oh, what they missing. Separation from God, eternity for them. But I want to tell you something. God didn't spare them. Yeah, I can't tell you why God didn't make provisions for them. I can't tell you he didn't see anything good in us he made for us. That's why when some people want to kick at the sovereignty of God, that God can do what he pleases. You don't need to kick at that. He's God. You just better praise him that you're in on it. That we got in on it. So he turned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemning them, overthrowing them, making them examples unto those that acted which should live ungodly. Now, somebody said, what do they got to do with us? Just read it. He said, there are examples of the other ones that shall live ungodly. And that tells me that God says they were an example of what's going to happen if people live that same way. I didn't say this. He did. They are examples of they that live ungodly. It don't pay to live ungodly. No way. And God give us some examples in there. He didn't, verse 5 said he didn't spare the old world neither. He just saved the preacher of righteousness, bringing the flood upon the world of the ungodly. You see, that's another example. God brought the flood on the world of the ungodly. And you know what? You know what we can see so much at end times? That's why he said in the book, Matthew 24, I know one place, probably some other gospels too, I can't remember right where they are. He said, as it was in the days of Luke, I meant Luke, not Luke, but Lot, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. That's one of the signs of the coming of our blessed Lord. He's coming soon. And we see it. And you know, I was thinking as I was meditating on this, did you know there's some countries that don't even believe in God won't put up some of the mess we put up over here with? They won't legalize some of the things we legalize. Well, I say we, the government. I'm serious. And we're supposed to be a Christian nation. Well, better get me on all that. I get every time I hear something on news about all this going to the same bathroom, I think to myself, you know what I said? Somebody's going to get hurt over that. You mark that down. Mark her down. There's going to be some daddies going to go in there. Some of them goes in there and just make out like they're a girl. Some of them boy, some of them girl bathrooms. They may not come out. There might be some husbands. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. We need to wake up in this country. And we better wake up as Christians. Stand up. Don't fold up and give up. I'm going to get on down here and hush. Lord willing. But he delivered Lot. He was a righteous man. Even seeing and hearing vexed his soul. Righteous soul lay by day. You see, he pitched his tent over there. Lot did. Weren't long he was over there. But he had an uncle that was in favor with God. Uncle Abraham. And you know what? He was in intercessory prayer, prayed for that city. God said he'd spare it if he'd found even 50. Couldn't find them. 40, 30. Went on down, didn't he? Went on down to 10. God said he couldn't even find 10 in there. And see, God knows who's righteous and he knows who's wicked. So he didn't have to. He didn't take him long to give it. Didn't take him no time to give Lot his answer. I meant Abraham the answer. You know why? God knows all things. He said he spared just for how many? 10, didn't he? Did he go? Didn't go 5, did he? Just went to 10. Well, they got out. Lot, his wife got parted away. His two daughters. Them angels hastened them out there. Lot looked back. Lot's wife looked back. God told him not even to look back. She did. Turned to a pillar of salt. You all know that. But look at verse number 9. Trying to wind up. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation, and reserve the unjust in the day of judgment to be punished. Well, I got to look into that, Brother Donnie. It said the Lord knoweth. I'm glad he does. Brother Calvin, he knows how to deliver us. Not only did he have mercy upon us, just like he delivered Lot out of that city, God knows how to deliver us in this wicked hour. He knows how, and he got the power to do it. That's why we need the Word of God hidden in our hearts, knowing that he's there with us to help us, and he's there with us. He's the only one that can help us. He's the only one that knows. He knows. He knows how to deliver the godly. First of all, he knows who the godly are. He knows who's walking with him. He knows who's fellowshipping with him. He knows who's godly. He knows who's ungodly. And he knows how to deliver the godly. He knows how. Now you may say, I don't know how in the world I'm going to get through this. I don't know how in the world I'm going to overcome this. He knows. Hallelujah, he knows. You don't, I don't. Maybe times you go through troubles and trials and temptations. He said, I don't know how in the world I'm going to get out of this temptation. God knows. If he knows the hairs on our head, numbered, named, knows everything about us, don't tell me he don't know how to deliver us out of temptation. There's not a temptation coming to man that isn't. He knows every one of them. You said, how in the world does he know so much about him? I tell you, he was tempted, the Bible said in the book of Hebrews, in all points like we are, yet without sin. That's why he knows he's tempted every point, every error that you were and I were. And he can, by the grace of God. No, he not only knows us and knows how, he'll do it. He knows exactly what you're going. You ain't been through nothing nobody else ain't been through. We ain't been through nothing. Apostle Paul, you're talking about going through something. He went through it. I'm talking about he went through some trouble. He went through temptation, trials. He went through all kinds of things. He was beaten. He was robbed. He was stoned. You name it, he went through it. But God knew how to deliver him out of it. Went to a shipwreck. Oh, he cried out to God. He hadn't seen the moon, stars, and hadn't seen none of that in day. Listen, hadn't seen the sun, the moon, nor the stars. It was black, and it was going through storms. About to give up. All hope was gone that they should be saved. Oh, about that time, an angel of God, he said, "Whose I am and whom I serve," came to him and spoke to him and said, "I want to tell you something." He said, "I'll tell you what God told me. He said there won't be one of us lost in this sea." Tore a ship apart. A ship get tore apart. It's got to be God getting them out. Did he know how to deliver them? Yeah, he did. Did he know how to deliver you? He does. You say, "Well, you don't know what I'm going through with." He does. I don't. It won't do me no good to know. But he knows. And if you know what you're going through with, he knows more what you're going through with. And he knows how to deliver you. And he knows the godly. And he will deliver you. Listen, that's why we need to get the verses in our heart. "I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. I'm more than a conqueror through him that loved me." These verses, listen, hide them in your heart. Speak to them. Meditate upon them. Say them in your heart. Listen, live on them. Glory to God. Let them be alive in your soul. Get the word of God in you. It'll sustain you. He knows how to deliver you. I can't deliver myself. Don't know how. And you don't know what temptations you're going to even be facing. He does. What if you face something like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Could you stand? They stood and got thrown in the old furnace, didn't they? Heated 7 times hotter than normal. Did God know how to deliver them? Yes, he did. What did he do? Just got right down there and walked in the fire with them. Woo! God will walk through the fire with you. He'll go right through there. You see, if he don't deliver you from the fire, he'll deliver you through it. Now, some of us don't want no heat. We don't want no trouble. We don't want no resistance. We want everything just icing on the cake and never no problems and never no this. Listen, I wouldn't know how to live that way hardly, would you? You ever have any problems? You ever have anything to go wrong? You ever have anything to go backwards? God knows why. He knows exactly how to help you. He knows your trouble. What did Job said? "Men to the affliction of the righteous, but the Lord what? Delivered from what? All." Didn't say a little bit of them, part of them. He knows how. He knows how. Glory to God. You know what I say? It's time we start believing it. Oh, you say, "I don't know what I'm going to do. Things are getting so rough." I know what you're going to do. You better trust God. You better rely on him. Lean on him. Lean on him. Oh, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I think it was him. I get him and Daniel mixed up sometimes. Daniel went to the lion then, didn't he? Well, they was in there anyhow. I get mixed up sometimes. Which one of them said, "We ain't gonna bow before you." I got with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, wasn't it? Said, "We ain't gonna bow before you, King." He said, "Whether God delivers us from that fire furnace or not," said, we still ain't bound to you, buddy. You see, that's where you got to get to. We got to get to the place where we can say it don't matter what the results may be. We're going to trust God. We're not bowing. We're not compromising. We're going to stay with the stuff. We're going to stay with the word. We're going to stay with it. Because God knows how to deliver us. And he did deliver. He sure did. He delivered old Daniel from the mouths of that old lion, didn't he? Sure did. Well, Daniel, we're going to quit praying. He'd been praying all the time. They wanted him to pray something else. Can't pray to that God no more. Of course, some of his enemies, I guess you'd call them that, found him praying. I wonder if anybody ever catch us praying. Something to think about, isn't it? Anybody ever catch us praying? Ever hear us praying? How close is your neighbor lives? He ever hear you praying? We was under the tent. I used to go up there and pray a lot. That was good. What, you think you may get warm in here some Sundays? You ought to be under it. Hey, praying. Daniel said, I'm going to pray. He prayed. God knew exactly how to deliver him out of his temptation. And God knows how to deliver you. Folks, we're heading in some rough times in America. We're heading in some rough times to be delivered from and go through. But I want to tell you something. God. Now, I know we got, and I'm not getting into politics, but I've heard him say we're going to make America great again. We're not going to be great again until we turn back to God. Mark it down. I don't matter who goes in there as president. Now, I know some do better than others. Don't get me wrong. But I'm just saying the only way we're going to be great again is get God back in the center. Not gods. Not other gods. They ain't but one God. It's God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. There ain't but one way to get to heaven. That's through Jesus. That's it. Someone said you're partial. Well, I am on that. You mark her down. Hallelujah. Jesus said in John 14:6, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father except by me. He's the only way. God didn't spare the angels, but he spared us to the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. God spared not his son that he might bring us into the kingdom and might forgive us of our sins. He punished him that, listen, that we may go unpunished from our sin. Why? Because we come to Christ and get forgiveness. If you ever come to Christ, come. Because God won't spare you. He won't spare you without being in Christ. God spared not his only begotten son. Ain't there a verse in Romans 8 about that? Yeah, they are. Verse 31, somewhere's in there. I think it's chapter 8. You know what it said? God spared not his son. Hold on a minute. Most of the time I can quote it, but I'm going to read it if I can't quote it right now. It's got to. Yeah, verse 32. Romans 8:32, and God spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us who? All. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Whew. Ain't that wonderful? You see, God, hey, the most wonderful things he can give us is this eternal salvation that we have in our eternal Lord. Can you imagine that? God spared not the angels, and he didn't spare his son. But thank God. Thank God. He didn't spare his son, but he spared me. Now, I don't know about you, but Raymond, that's shouting ground. Hallelujah. That God. He delivered him up for us all. Spared him not. Spared not the angels. Spared not the old world. Spared not the cities of Sodom. Spared not his son. But spared me. And I want to thank God. Be part of that family. Into the family of God. so the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation. And he also knows how to keep them unjust ones, don't he, unto the day of judgment. Not going to get by God. Did you know if you don't come to Christ, you won't be spared? You'll have to stand before. You won't be spared of the judgment, great white throne judgment. Stand there before God. You'll have no one to plead for you. No one to stand in your place if you don't come to Christ. Come, why don't you? Oh, why don't you come? Oh, listen. It'd be more tolerable even for those old cities I read about. It'd be more even for that in judgment day. For, listen, all those and the angels had no way of, they did not say, they did not resist this great salvation because it hadn't been offered to them. They had no thing planned for them. God did for us. And so it'd be more tolerable for them, even in the judgment, than it will if you reject Christ and go on in your sins. Yes, awful. Only be sure of this. He said, be sure of your sin. Find you out. Because God knows. He already knows. He knows how to deliver you though. He knows how to save you. Set you free. Yes, he does. He knows how to keep you in his loving grace and mercy. Aren't you glad of that amazing grace we sung about? How sweet the sound. Saved a wretch like me. Once was lost, but now I'm found. Thank God for that amazing grace. Aren't you glad? Hallelujah. That you got spared. Hallelujah. If you've never come to Christ, listen, don't wait. I'm not saying you can be a good person. I know a lot of good people. Good hearted. I mean they are good people. But that's not going to get us there. It takes Christ. And he knows that. He paid that price. And he knows where you're godly or not. He knows where you're right with him or not. And he knows every trial you're going through, every test that you're going to face. And he'll be right there with you. And he'll deliver you. And you know what? That's comfort to me. You know, whatever I may face, he's there to help me. He is. Would you stand with me?